What comes first, the chicken or the egg? No matter the answer, neither would exist without each other. In similar ways, on a more time-pressured issue, our climate wouldn't exist without species. And as our climate is changing, species will either adapt or become extinct. Although science is backing up both issues, there is a lack of interconnection both in studies and policymaking. In a report released last month representing the first ever collaboration between the world's largest research and policy communities on biodiversity and climate, researchers set out to explore the multiple connections between climate change and biodiversity. Co-author of the report, Dr. Michelle Lim from Macquarie University, joins us on The Daily this morning. Dr. Michelle Lim, welcome to The Daily.
Thanks a lot, Tina.
My pleasure. Now, look, the report raises much awareness to the fact that climate change and biodiversity are very different issues and that trade-offs often occur. So why is it so important that we consider both as one?
Thanks, yes, and absolutely building on your point, importantly, firstly, to recognise that climate change and biodiversity loss are the two greatest issues facing humanity, and any action to address them will require us to act at the pace and speed that we've never acted on before. And importantly, something that hasn't been highlighted as much in media coverage of the report is that issues of equity and justice also need to be taken into account when dealing with issues of biodiversity mm-hmm. and climate. And coming back to your question of the interactions between biodiversity and climate change. So particularly around biodiversity loss, historically, the key drivers of biodiversity loss have been land use change, overuse of species, number three mm-hmm. being climate change. But as we move into this century, it's likely that climate change is going to be the number one cause of biodiversity loss. And at the same time, ecosystems have this amazing capacity to sequester carbon and are a key part of addressing the challenges of climate change.
Right. Well, the report is a workshop that it informs the IPBES of linkages between biodiversity and climate change so that they thereafter inform the IPCC reports. So what does it, if you could break that down for us, what's the aim for the two intergovernmental bodies working together?
Yeah, and if I might clarify a little bit, it's the first time that both IPBES on the one hand and IPCC on the other have come together to create the report. So it's not one feeding into the other, but experts from the IPCC, from IPBES coming together to, mm-hmm. to bring knowledge into this collaboration around climate and biodiversity. And then, and part of the reason why the two bodies have come together for the first time is to then feed into those policy processes of the Conference of the Parties for the Biodiversity Convention at the end of this year, as well as the similar Conference of the Parties in Glasgow also at the end of this year. So it's the two bodies coming together to right. feed into these important global processes.
I'm just having a look over an article that you wrote, and there's a section that you titled called Robbing Peter to Pay Paul. And you mentioned yeah. that policies often treat climate change and biodiversity individually. Could you bring up an example where a policy was meant to do good for our climate but ended up doing quite yeah. badly for our biodiversity?
So I'll give a range of examples, first in more like a policy sense, but then also in my area, which is very much a legal sense. So in a policy sense, tree planting. We think that people have this idea that tree okay. planting will be an absolutely good idea for both biodiversity and climate. But in fact, it can be harmful.
Right.
In particular, if we are getting rid of existing ecosystems that are functioning really well, having this range of biodiversity benefits, being home to these wonderful species. Mm-hmm. But if we get rid of things like that in order to build, in order to grow fast-growing trees that are perhaps good at, with the intention of having them sequester carbon, we risk this, we risk the immense biodiversity in these areas as well. And the same thing with biofuels. So where as an alternative to fossil fuels for energy and to power our economies, biofuels such as canola, etc., planting those as an alternative to fossil fuels can right. have huge implications for biodiversity loss, because you're clearing areas that are full of biodiversity with the intention of dealing with that issue. And then the challenge you see across the legal spectrum, but the example I'll give is in the international law space, mm-hmm. is the quite siloed way in which all the different important parts of nature are dealt with in their own particular boxes. So climate being dealt with in a separate convention to biodiversity, again in a separate convention to our oceans. And you'll see examples of issues such as ocean acidification, which has huge connections to both climate and biodiversity, then falling through the gaps of the international regime.
Fascinating stuff. Dr. Michelle Lim, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on The Daily this morning.
Thanks, Tina.
That was Dr. Michelle Lim, Senior Lecturer at Macquarie University, talking about why we need to intersect climate change and biodiversity together. Links to the workshop report she co-authored will be up on our website later today.